Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Ferrell-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today the great one and only John Brubaker. Coach Brew is on the show today. John, how are you? And why do we have a tone there? What's going on with that?
I have no idea. I'm still back on the fact that there's something called hyphen law.
Yes, hyphen. Yes.
There's law practiced over punctuation.
Yes, yes. You didn't know that, did you?
No, you learn something new every day on this show.
Absolutely. And by the way, as you know, my co-host, Tony Alvarez, is attorney at Vero. So it's a great firm, great organization.
I don't know that because you've never introduced me to Tommy. I think you are afraid. Who?
Tawny, T-A-W-N-Y.
And see, I don't know these things because I think you're afraid to introduce me to your co-host for fear of what I might say, do, or what might happen.
And I think
that's a totally reasonable fear for you.
John is a speaker, award-winning author, and executive coach, and just an all-around entrepreneur of so many things. So many things, right? So many.
Jack of all trades, master of
a few. Many.
Yes.
Yes, I was going to say a few. How's that? So first of all, let's start with a simple question. How's your clothing line going? How's the new radio station going? You got a whole bunch of things going on, John.
It's going very well. Thank you for asking. The collection is about to launch next week. I don't know when this show airs, but the odds are the collection will have launched by the time this goes to the airwaves. And that website is chinupchestout.com. It is not just an apparel brand, as you know, David. However, as your millions of listeners may not know, we also have a radio station. It's called Chin Up Chest Out Radio. You can go to Cuco, C-U-C-O, radio.com to download the app, available on Android or iPhone. And all of this was born, we're talking about leadership today, I believe, is kind
of... Yes, that's our topic.
So yeah, all of this was born during the pandemic, you know, when people were isolated, socially distanced, locked in their homes, watching Tiger King, worrying about running out of toilet paper, and mental health is probably an all-time low. 2019, the suicide rate was high. It was at its highest since World War II. Think about that.
That's awful.
Yeah, mental health is just an issue. I had some mental health challenges in 2019, pre-pandemic, and I wanted to be part of the solution, so I created a clothing brand, Chin Up, Chest Out. It's kind of a mindset, protect your mindset, and we donate a percentage of sales to mental health charities around the country. And I decided, you know what? And nothing against traditional radio. I will add that disclaimer. Nothing against any traditional media. But there is so much negative news that has invaded the collective conscience and the news cycle. And it's also social media that I wanted something that could be a... I hate to use the term safe space, but a... I guess a positive distraction or a safe haven where you could go and just listen to music and not have to hear about death tolls, lockdowns, the stock market collapsing. Like, you didn't have to hear anything negative. So we created a radio station that plays nothing but positive, uplifting music. I don't mean like Pollyanna positive. I mean like nice motivational stuff, an online radio station, commercial free. And more importantly than commercial free really is it is news free. If you want news, go somewhere else. You just want positive, uplifting stuff that's music for your mindset, come to us, cucoradio.com. But, my focus as a professional speaker for the last 2 years hasn't been speaking because there are no events to speak at and very little in the way of Zoom activities. So it's been just being part of the solution and, creating brand extensions that can, you know, be an extension of my message, but also improve people's mindset and mental health. And that's kind of the long answer to your short question.
No, but it's very true. Look, I love the brand. You know that. I'm aware of the brand. You've done an amazing job with not only providing a brand that has really a good awareness and a good messaging, but also it's a good quality product. And that's important today. And I think, you know, too often I came from the clothing world. I'm very aware of how clothing is made. And you've produced a very good quality product that you can stand behind and actually enjoy wearing. So kudos for you and all that. And then the radio station, I have it downloaded. I just said I have it on the app. And, you know, when I'm looking for something uplifting and just moving along, it's a great place to go to. It has a variety from everything from rock to country to everything. It's just a total variety show in terms of what you're looking for.
And just in to speak to that for a second, some of the feedback that I got, and I think this is a good lesson in terms of leadership today, is are you creating something that your audience actually wants? So before I even created like any kind of program, I asked my audience, what do you want? And people said, we don't want to hear the news. You know, they largely don't even want to hear the weather. You know, and it's a global audience, internet radio. So like I couldn't possibly program weather everywhere anyway. That would occupy all the programming. But they wanted positive, uplifting stuff. But they also said, like, there's so much anxiety going on today that's I don't want to blame the pandemic, but, you know, I'll blame, you know, just a lot of what's going on in the collective conscience here is anxiety provoking, and people are having trouble sleeping at night. And I had a number of, you know, members of my existing audience, my readers, my clothing brand customers say, is there any chance you could do like relaxing acoustic kind of sleep music, for lack of a better term? And I said, absolutely. So like, what's a good window of time? Again, ask the audience and they'll tell you everything you need to know. So from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m., we just play acoustic sleep music, very relaxing stuff. We want to make sure, like, what do you want in the app? You know, we're not going to have pop-up ads or anything like that in the app. And people said, we'd like an alarm clock so we could wake up to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't that a little creepy? You could wake up to me. You could wake up.
Well, luckily, we're waking up to your music. Luckily, yes. Not you.
Yeah, yes. So yes. People can wake up to the app as an alarm clock, and it has a sleep timer so they can listen to it. They can program it out 45 minutes while they go to sleep.
And that's perfect.
I think that's leadership today, is listening to your people, you know, especially as hopefully we emerge from this pandemic and people return back to the office. Like, it's more important than ever to listen to them, because the way you've been listening to them has either been, you know, on a Zoom screen with 30 different faces, some of whom probably have their video turned off, or, you know, on a Slack channel or an email, you know, a group email or text. And you get no visual cues from that, or very little.
Yeah, it's been a challenge, hasn't it?
What, you know, what they're not saying as much as what they are saying, listen to their body language, and, you know, just have your door open for people to come in and share ideas, concerns, thoughts with you. It's going to be more important than ever. I think those will be the companies that transition back, you know, back to the office best, and probably climb out of this economically better.
Well, you know, I have found, and again, we're talking with John Brubaker, of course. He's an executive coach, speaker, and award-winning author of some great books, and I can say that because I've read them. And, you know, I got to tell you, John, the world has changed here in the last few years. What was that everybody had to go to work, we're finding that now we can do it at home, or maybe it's a hybrid where some people want to go back to work, right? Because they're like, I'm tired of being home. I'd like to see more than my dog and my significant other or my children all the time. I need a spot where I can go and do some work and not have to worry about distractions. Maybe my refrigerator is a little too close for me, right, in terms of that. So those are what we're seeing from a leadership perspective, that leaders are challenged today. They're really challenged to figure out what each person needs. And this goes to right your point about the mental health, because everybody's different and everybody needs something different. And that's the biggest challenge I find from leadership from this perspective.
Yeah, some people still need to work from home. Some people don't. Some people really want to get back in the office. Some people still need to wear a mask. Some people don't want to. But I think the biggest thing for leaders is listen and be willing to have that conversation, you know, privately.
Yeah. No, it's very true. It's very true.
It's like, it's that old Far Side cartoon where they have the suggestion box mounted to the wall and right underneath it is the paper shredder.
Yeah.
Like if you listen, but then you don't do anything with that information proactively, people are going to stop coming to you with that information. So you really need to listen and be responsive.
You know, listening, that's a great segue into listening. I find that that is really a skill that is not well done at all.
What? You're cutting out.
I said, sorry about that. I said, listening.
I was kidding. Oh. I get it, John.
I fell for it too. That's the real sad part. I fell for it.
I'm here for the next three segments, folks.
Yep. It's called Get the Host. He achieved his goal today. So I'm saying
listening,
yes, which clearly you're not, but and hopefully our audience is. But no, isn't it really interesting that people listen to respond and they don't listen to understand?
It's an epidemic. It really is. In a way, follow me on this. I'm sure you understand where I'm going with this. In a way, because of the isolation, people just want to talk. People just want to sit down across from someone and talk. And, you know, when things started to settle down a bit, I bet everyone can relate to this and has a family member like this. People started to get vaccinated and the elderly started to either accept visitors or come out of their homes a bit and families started gathering again. You had probably the most isolated of your family members talking your ears off because they had no one to talk to. And I think we're going to see a lot of that as, you know, departments start to gather again in the office and you start to have meetings. People are going to want to talk. I think you need to give them that space, but find a way to make sure that, you know, as much as they're talking, they're listening too, you know? So for leaders, just modeling the behavior you want and expect from your people is going to be hugely important.
The other thing I find important is the fact that there's a little bit of, we've forgotten what office etiquette is, what, you know, what really, I mean, it's not necessarily, maybe it is okay to come in your pajamas and sweatpants, or no pants.
Yeah, and, that's casual Friday, no pants, yes.
It's no pants Thursday. So, you know, it's just one of those, it's a different world. We've had to go back. I mean, I have a good friend that is a manager at a men's warehouse, and he said that, you know, during the last couple of years, it has been brutal. Who would buy a suit, right? For there is almost no reason. You had them in your closet. You just barely wore them. If you did, it was a tie top only. You had shorts on or something underneath. It's a different work. Now you got to get fully dressed back up in some cases, even if it's business casual. And people are judging. They do judge how you look, how you act. It's something that we have to be concerned about again.
Yeah, a little pro tip for all you folks out there who've been doing a lot of Zoom meetings. When you get back into the office, you can't just hold that coffee cup up and blow on it like you're cooling off your coffee when you're actually drinking whiskey. That will get you in trouble in the office. You can't hide that like you could on a Zoom meeting at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. And yeah, you probably ought to dress the way you used to dress before all of this happened.
You know what I also would recommend? Showers.
Yeah.
Showers would be good too, right? You know, maybe you took a day and you didn't shower that morning. You just kind of combed the hair back and you did what you did. But showers are a good thing. It's a recommendation, we think, for coming to work.
A best practice, if you will.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk more with Coach Brew in a few seconds here. We're going to take a quick, what we would call obscene break, as some of our friends would say out there. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back. Educational HR Radio is critical to your organization's success, and our sponsors understand the value this program brings to owners, C-suite professionals, and the HR community. We are honored and thank our sponsoring law firms of Verrill, Sheehan Finney, Jackson Lewis, and McLean Middleton. Our partner sponsors of Healthcare Purchase Alliance and Strategic HR. Want to be a sponsor of the HR Power Hour? Text 603-303-6124 and say, we want to be an HR Power Hour sponsor.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill. Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to Educational HR Radio. And remember, the HR Power Hour, it podcasts on all major podcast channels. You can go to HRPowerHour.com, or of course, you can check us out at WLOB Radio. John Brubaker, Coach Brew, is our guest today. He's been almost a yearly guest in terms of coming on the show. And you know what's really good is he really identifies with what's going on today. And we're going to be talking about leadership today. You know, John is an author. I mentioned that before, of award-winning books. How many books have you written, John?
16.
16 books. And so out of those 16 books, when we went into the pandemic and now we're coming out of it, when you thought to yourself, who thought that this would happen? Is anything really come out that you say to yourself, my God, this is more relevant today than ever?
Yeah, there have been a few things. First, I'd like to share something alarming that's made me question my career direction. And that is 2 years ago, like right when the pandemic started, 10 of the top 30 best-selling books were adult coloring books. Sorry, 10 of the top 35. 10 of the top 35 books were adult coloring books. So clearly, I'm probably, you know, as far as being an author, I'm probably in the wrong lane. I should have been doing adult coloring books.
You should have. But,
you know, the one thing I have seen is, you know, in terms of like my message or any, you know, any of my peers messaging, you know, as far as business authors go, is problems, you know, problem solving and creativity, innovation, you know, anything in that realm has been incredibly important. And I mean, if you're a small business owner, you know this as well as anyone. When the pandemic hit, the rules changed. The rules of engagement changed. They were constantly changing every week, every month, on a daily basis. You know, Home Depot was deemed essential, but magically, the local independently owned True Value Hardware was told they had to close. And then, like, how things were able to reopen and what you could and couldn't do. Like, things are just constantly changing. People say we can't wait till things get back to normal. I don't think anything's ever going to really completely get back to normal. So we better get comfortable with, you know, adjusting on the fly and constantly recalibrating. So that's been probably the biggest thing I've noticed.
Yeah, there's no question that the pace of change, and actually this has been going on for a while. You know this, John. The pace of change has been insane. The amount that's changed in the last year and a half, 2 years and a half. One of the demographers who I had on the show talked about the fact that we've done 10 years worth of change in two. And that's an amazing statistic when you think about it.
Yeah, they say, I forget the exact number, but like when you talk about the pace of change with technology and computers, like it's something like every year computers 10x in speed, capacity, memory, and all that. And I think that's a great analogy for us as business owners, leaders, managers. It's like, how are you growing and if not growing, recalibrating and changing in that same window of time? How are you keeping up with the pace of everything else that's changing?
Well, I got to tell you, certainly in the HR world and the leadership world, I would tell you that most, the answer would be no. The amount that has changed from a general perspective, human behavior, all the way up to regulatory, federal, state, local regulations, the amount of change has been astronomical in the last 2 years. And I see nothing that's going to stop that, by the way. I think it's going to be a continuation of the change right through the next year or two.
And the example I would give is like right before the pandemic, you know, QR codes have been around for years. No one used them. It was scary because you didn't know exactly where that QR code was redirecting you to. And it could have been to a compromised site, something that was hacked. And then it became, wouldn't you know, a best practice, especially like takeout and restaurants when we didn't know that the virus couldn't really be transmitted very well on objects, you know, on paper. People had QR codes. You'd scan the menu onto your smartphone at restaurants. And that's something I think that has become a very mainstream idea, QR codes, and is going to stick around for a while, you know, until the next evolution of something else. But that was something that, you know, people wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole 2 years ago. And now, you know, it's probably something you use or at least see every day.
That's no question. Matter of fact, it's funny. We are at conventions now, you know, as they've reopened. We have QR codes on all our materials now, right? They take it to certain sites, to certain things, and people scan them. You know, initially I was like, well, they get actually used. The answer is yes, they do. And it's paperless. It's easy. It makes things simple. So I certainly can see the value of them in terms of that. But leaders are also realizing that people can get information that way. And it can take right to your benefits, can take right to an article or something that you want to show or teach. I mean, this has really become a very interesting technological advancement that is helping leaders move forward.
And that's just one off the top of our heads as we're just kind of spitballing this topic right now. Think about the countless others.
Well, there's so many. Let's talk about listening.
I mean, we're on one right now. We're recording on Zoom.
That's right.
Which, if you'd have told me to buy stock in that company in 2018, I'd been like, I don't know.
No, it's true. Well, that and Bitcoin, but we won't talk about that. So, right, we're not going to have that conversation. It's not a financial show in terms of that area. But, you know, all I can tell you is leaders today are stressed to the max. What can you give them for advice?
As much as you need to listen to your people and communicate with them, you need to listen to yourself and check in with yourself and communicate with you. And what I mean by that is, yeah, it's great to have an open door policy, but that can be taken advantage of and your time can get hijacked. You need to take time for yourself. So one of the toughest things I have to do with clients in my coaching business is try and convince them to just sit in quiet contemplative thought for like 20 minutes a day, you know, do a little reading, journaling, meditation, whatever it is. But listen to yourself. If you're feeling really stressed out, you call time out, you know, and it's not time wasted. It's you recalibrating. We've used that word a lot, recalibrating, kind of, you know, on the heels of the pandemic as it becomes an endemic. But like, it's a very real thing. You need to be able to recalibrate on a daily basis. And it's one of the, you know, one of the things that I've noticed at the beginning of the pandemic is, you know, people's anxiety and mental health suffering. We've talked about it before on your show earlier this year. That's one of the reasons I wrote this daily reader called Move Forward. You know, it's people can read a page a day. And if you can't sit still for 20 minutes and just think and clear your mind, read a page in a book, you know, and just something that kind of helps you center yourself a little bit. Because then when you step back into, you know, the conference room, or if you're, you know, walking the shop floor at your plant, then you're going to be more present with your people because you took time for yourself. And it's not selfish. It's like really the least selfish thing you can do is take time for yourself, because you'll show up better for everybody else by doing that.
Well, I always use the analogy of if you're in an airplane and the oxygen mask drops, it's always put it on yourself first, right? And then you can help others. And if you don't, you can't help others. So,
well, unless you're sitting next to a screaming child, and then folks, put it on the screaming child to do everyone in the plane a favor and shut the kid up. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, let's be honest, David.
I have the right to remain silent. I'm going to use that right at this point. That's what I'm going to do. Yes, I am.
No, but you're right. You got to take care of yourself first.
You absolutely do. And if you don't, you're not good to anybody. Right? You're just not good to anybody in that particular case. You know, I've seen so many leaders try to bowl their way through. Right? And I'm going to acknowledge I've been one of them. I've done it in my career probably way too many times when I pulled in the extra time and the extra energy and just put the helmet on, put on the riot gear and go full battle. And then only to, you know, a month or two later, really feel that effect and kind of regret it in a way many, many times. Got it done. But boy, it was a big toll on myself to do that.
And the pace is different as you move from working at home to being back in the office. The pace for everyone is going to be different. It's going to be a little faster pace. There's going to be more hustle and bustle and things going on. And I think it becomes even more important to be able to kind of, to quote the great American philosopher and poet, Ice Cube, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I do believe it's going to be really even more important to check yourself because, yeah, the tempo and the pace, everything will be faster than, you know, you sitting in your home office or at your kitchen table doing work on your computer.
No, there's no question about it. And again, we're talking with John Brubaker. He's a speaker, award-winning author, and executive coach. We're talking about leadership today. And, you know, we're really looking to remind people that it's okay as a leader to A, take care of yourself. We just said that. And also to have, you know, to really balance empathy and accountability. You know, a lot of companies are very focused on the bottom line. And by the way, I don't know any good company that isn't. But at the same time, the bottom line doesn't get anywhere without people behind it. And that's the balance between the two.
You used a four-letter word a second ago. I don't know if you want to have that bleeped out, David. You said accountability.
I'm pretty sure there's more than four letters, but that's okay.
Right. It is more than four. But and that's to my point here is people treat that term like it's a four-letter word, like it's a bad thing, and like it's a punitive measure. We're going to hold you accountable to, you know, your budget or to this or to that, you know, performance metric, like it's a punitive thing or it's bad. And I actually believe the opposite. I believe accountability is the greatest form of love that you can have for somebody. And that actually is a four-letter word, L-O-V-E. But the reason I say that is, like, I see your potential. And I want to hold you to that because it'll make you better. And if it makes you better, it's going to make our department better. It's going to make our team better. It's going to make the company better. It's going to help you advance your career, whether that's here or advance your career by you being able to move on to greener pastures somewhere else. Like, I do believe accountability is the greatest form of love. And I, as if I were working inside a company, I would be more concerned that I'm not being held accountable by my leader, by my manager, by the owner of the business. Because that, to me, sends a clear signal they don't care that much about you.
You know, it's true. And I just watch so many leaders get afraid about what happens if I hold them accountable. What happens if they leave? What happens if they don't do it? What happens if? And yet they're asking the wrong question. The right question is, what happens if we get it right? What happens if they achieve their goal? What happens if they can do these things? Imagine how that will achieve success for themselves, which is pride. Pride being one of the biggest forms of employee engagement that you can possibly have, that internal pride, and then pride in the organization, right? In terms of in themselves doing something right. And there, you know, we don't do enough positive reinforcement as leaders. We know that. But we really need to. And if you can just balance that between the empathy and the accountability, you will be a much better leader. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. Talk in a minute. The HR Power Hour is proud to announce Healthcare Purchaser Alliance as a new sponsor of the program. What is Healthcare Purchaser Alliance? Well, it's an employer-led nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting strategies that improve the quality and affordability of employee benefits. The benefit of membership is that it can help you contain your healthcare costs. So go to purchaseralliance.org for more information or email info@purchaseralliance.org.
If you're single and not dating on Match, then listen up. Match is not only number one in first dates, but second dates too. In fact, they've surveyed over 5,000 U.S. singles to get the top tips and advice when it comes to dating. Here we go. You want to impress a first date? Put your phone away. 45% of singles would be turned on if you visibly turned off your phone during a date. This is my issue, but the Mets are on it. It's like the eighth inning, and they're going to the bullpen. Millennials are 270% more likely than other generations to be turned on by someone who is binge-watching the same TV shows like Stranger Things or OA. Singles flirt everywhere, but flirting at the bar, in the laundromat, or at the gym are the most successful. I like to just say, hey, can I fold your clothes? Oh, see, now I get to, I don't know, but I would like to fold your clothes. Dating can be difficult, so if you're not using Match, you're missing out. Start searching and connecting for free today at Match.com. That's Match.com, Match.com, M-A-T-C-H.com.
With Zillow, you're not just looking for a house. You're looking for the bathroom where you'll give your kids shampoo mohawks. The bonus room you'll turn into a gym and work out in every single day. Starting tomorrow. You're looking for hardwood floors worthy of your signature dance move, the glitchy robot.
You're not just looking for a house. You're looking for a place for your life to happen. And whether buying or renting, Zillow makes it easy with simple smart search features, photos, video walkthroughs, and more. Zillow, find your way home.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and again, we're talking with John Brubaker today about leadership today. You know, and of course, you're listening to the HR Power Hour podcasted on all major podcast channels and, of course, at hrpowerhour.com. John, you know, one of the things that has been in the news, it was probably in the news about a few months ago, was a conversation about, and this would be a leadership discussion, about a company who had an employee approach them and say they had an anxiety issue. Obviously, talking about these, and it was real. And they asked not to have a birthday party. Well, the company had already had it planned. They threw the party. It triggered a reaction by the individual, and they ended up in their car having an anxiety attack. Come to show later, the organization made the decision that the reaction was inappropriate for the behavior. There's a little more to this. I'm summarizing a little bit. And they ended up terminating the individual. No surprise. He filed a lawsuit and he won. Other than the obvious ridiculousness of firing somebody for that situation, right? And again, I don't have all the detail. I'm just giving you the overview. Any thoughts on how organizations should handle things when it's as simple as they try to do something good, but they turn it into something bad?
That probably happens more often than is ever reported. If you're an introvert, you don't want people making you the center of attention, singing happy birthday, wheeling in a big cake. You know, like, you don't want that typically. But I think it speaks to a broader problem. What we talked about earlier, David, is a whole concept of listening, empathy. You know, if you are a good leader, you are walking the front lines of your organization. You are getting up from behind your desk and your computer screen. And you're essentially kind of like a physician doing rounds at the hospital. You know, you are checking in on your people, checking in, like literally kind of looking at their chart, checking their vitals. And while you're doing that, you know, you can notice things in your employee's office space. Oh, hey, this person's a Red Sox fan. Everything in their office it looks like they work for the Boston Red Sox. Like they have all the merch. So maybe, you know, they're married. Maybe they're coming up on their 20th anniversary. Great birthday gift for that person might be a pair of tickets to Fenway. Not, you know, a department-wide party where they don't want to be sung to. You know, maybe you know one of your employees really enjoys fishing. Take them deep sea fishing one day. Or, you know, get them some gear that you know they'd appreciate. And it's not about the physical gift. It's about noticing what they're interested in and caring. He cared enough to notice that I'm really into deep sea fishing, or I'm really into, you know, knitting, or whatever it might be. He or she cared enough to notice. That's the important part of it. And I guarantee you, if you're doing that, your company's not going to get slapped with a lawsuit because you are doing something that basically, let's call that what it is. They did that for themselves. They didn't do that for that employee. This is going to make us feel good. Like, we did something for employee engagement. We brought the whole department together. We never do that. Yeah, they were doing that to stroke their own ego. You know, I don't know anything about that particular case, but PTSD is a very real thing. And if you've hired a veteran who has PTSD, there are different prompts and triggers and things that could, you know, cause them great anxiety. Be sensitive to that. You know, that's a tone deaf leader right there.
Yeah, I think isn't that the point, right? That's somebody who really, they were told, no. And yet they still went ahead and said yes. And you know, I can see from an HR perspective, them saying, well, everybody needs to be treated the same. And if we're going to have a party for one, we should have a party for all. Right? I can see that being.
That makes me cringe, too, because treating everyone the same is not treating everyone fairly. But it makes it really easy for HR to check that box. It's easier to say, hey, we treat everyone the same than it is to say we treat everyone fairly. Well, sorry, HR, if you're listening.
No. Well, I hope they are.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and typically you would see that HR would, if somebody told HR that, they probably would not hold the party. Let's be honest. You know, some leader made a decision to run it anyway in terms of that. So it's just a matter of understanding that you said a great term. Don't be tone deaf. Really listen to what they're telling you. If somebody, especially today, is saying they're having a moment, they're having an issue, and even if you don't know how to handle it, just listen. Yeah. Send them home for the day. Let them have a moment to regroup. I don't know how many times we've had this conversation in the HR profession where we've had people come to us and we're like, go home, take care of what needs to be taken care of, and you'll be better either tomorrow or let us know what the situation is. Give them an EAP program. Have them talk.
I was going to say, empathy, probably one of your greatest employee retention strategies. Actually caring.
Yeah. And boy, don't we need retention right now? Since
it's a lost art. Yeah, it's a lost art.
Yeah. And I think that's something that if we learn nothing else from the show today, this is probably one of the bigger topics, is really understanding to listen and respond appropriately.
Yeah.
You know, which book would you say is a good book for somebody to read that would have that type of information and be able to share how to do that in an effective way?
I would have to say my book, Seeds of Success. It's really about building a better leader. And the fact that your best ideas often come from outside your industry. And it's about, listening to outside voices, creative problem solving, and the fact that, like, if you're doing what everyone else is doing, you're just going to get the same average results everyone else gets. It's about doing things differently to get a better result. That's available at seedsofsuccessbook.com. But I would say it, because it's a book about a mentor and a protege and how a mentor leads. And you know, leadership is the most important thing for an organization, because you see how many different cautionary tales there have been. I mean, turn on Netflix, turn on Hulu or Amazon. Like, there are some absolutely horrible documentaries about horrible leaders. You know, that Elizabeth Holmes Theranos documentary that's on now. Everyone in my family's watched that, and it's been kind of a topic of discussion of just, manipulative leadership. And there are just so many cautionary tales, because leadership is something that is not gained out of a textbook. It's not something that you can really teach in a class so much as it's something that needs to be done experientially. And that experience typically is not in a company. You know, you bring that experience to the company. You were a varsity athlete. You were you had a leadership role in the theater at your school. You did ROTC. You served in the military. You're a leader and volunteered at a nonprofit. It's got to be one of the most challenging leadership roles, is mobilizing and leading a group of volunteers.
No,
you know,
question.
If I were hiring anyone tomorrow, that'd be one of the first things I would look for, is someone that's successfully led a group of volunteers. Because everyone's got their own interests and agendas and things they want to do, but how do you mobilize them towards a common goal? But my point being is, like, you bring leadership from a lot of different realms to the company typically, and it's not something you normally get college credit for and then, you know, pull out of a textbook and use.
You know, John, I think that's a really good point. And when we come back here, we'll have the last segment. And I have a really big question for you to end the show. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay. There's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and ferro-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you are listening to the HR Power Hour Educational HR Radio. Today, our guest has been and continues to be John Brubaker, Coach Brew, as everybody knows him at coachbrew.com. I'll tell you, John, we've had a great talk today about leadership today. But you know what? My question, as I said in the last segment, has really nothing to do with leadership today. It has to do with leadership tomorrow. Do you see anything changing or anything where you think that leadership is going to be different over the next 5 years or so?
So a full disclosure here, folks. He said before the break, he had a big question for me. During the break, I said, David, give me a little bit of a heads up on what the big question is. And that was not the big question that he told me during the break. He phrased this very differently when we came back on air here. Your exact words were, and I would prefer to answer that question, where do you see leadership headed tomorrow?
Yeah, I changed it.
Okay. So can I answer your original question?
Sure, you can answer both. You can flow into it. How's that?
Okay. So to answer your original question, where do I see leadership tomorrow headed? Straight in the tank. I really see leadership headed in the tank. I don't mean to be like Mr. Doomsday, Doom and Gloom, Debbie Downer, but for a lot of companies, I think leadership is headed in a bad direction unless they can course correct. Now, the smart companies with good leaders, I think leadership tomorrow is headed in the direction of flexibility. Flexibility and the ability and willingness to pivot quickly. I really believe that because we talked about the pace of change. You very eloquently put it. You said the pace of change accelerated by how much in 2 years?
10 years worth.
10 years, a decade of change in 2 years, probably just shy of 2 years, is wild. And the companies that will not just survive but thrive are probably led by flexible leaders. Leaders willing to listen to an outside voice like yours or mine. Leaders to invest in their people. Leaders who are willing to hire someone smarter than them and surround themselves with people who have strengths they don't. And turn them loose and let them go.
You know,
that's
you are
where I see successful companies headed tomorrow with leadership.
Yeah, but I agree.
A lot of companies won't change. And that's why I'm afraid leadership will be, for some places, will be headed right in the tank.
Yeah, no, I actually think leadership of tomorrow is daily. Yeah. And what I mean by that is every day is going to be different. And I'm not saying that it isn't different today. I'm saying the pace is going to be different.
And yeah, and before, so to your point, before I was self-employed, I had a great boss. And I had asked him, like, when do you do an annual review? And he's like, John, I do an annual review every day of each of my people. I'm like, and I was young. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? And he said, my review of you is on a day-to-day basis. I'm taking mental notes. I'm jotting down notes in my journal. And to his point, like, he would coach you up right away on something. He would praise you right away. And he didn't feel a need for an annual or a quarterly or a biannual review because he was in constant communication with you. So there was the benefit of that for everyone listening who can do that is it doesn't give the individual or the department time for you know what to hit the fan or to go south for very long.
John, you're spot on.
Yeah.
You're spot on. So, you know, I got to tell you, as we wrap up here, we got about 30 seconds. Where can people find you? Where can they get your radio station? Where can they get all these things?
You can go to coachbrew.com to find me, my books, everything, you know, surrounding my orbit, if you will. And then for the clothing brand and the radio station, go to Cuco Radio. That's C-U-C-O radio.com. And that'll tell you everything else you need to know.
And thanks. I highly recommend. No, it's great having you. It was fun as always. And I'll tell you, if you want to get some great clothing, have some fun and listen to some nice, relaxing music that is positive, I can't tell you, you got to go to CUCORadio.com, make that happen. And go to the app, of course, on the iTunes store or, of course, on Android. So, John, stay, be well. Okay.
Right back at you, sir.
All right. Have a great day. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.